a much wider view of the entire picture. There are three alternatives that they are considering. The first is to do nothing. Even if they manage to simply neutralize the negative ETs, they feel that you will probably destroy yourselves anyway, and many are willing to let your own natures take their course. The second is to simply kick over the planet. Rescue a deserving few, let the Earth roll over several times, wipe out everything and start over by repopulating the Earth with beings they feel deserve to live here. These are my people considering this. Many feel that destroying everything here would allow those who die to progress and transmigrate to a higher level, and help the consciousness of the Earth to evolve much more quickly. The third is to stabilize the spin of the Earth, which has been thrown out of whack by all of the atomic explosions, stabilize the tectonic plates, so the game can be played out, but with one difference. There are many Earth people that they have taken to live on their worlds, Romul being just one of them. These Earth people have had children who have been raised in Pleiadian societies, learning their laws, science, and religion. There are about 100,000 just on Romul now. These children want to go back to the old country and see where they came from. Many thousands of them are returning, and will be returning in the years to come to help us through the hard times ahead. There was a huge influx of these people coming back to Earth in 1995. The Council has not really agreed on anything as yet. They are making their mind up now. That is why it is so important that we do everything we can to fix our karmic debts. If we can raise the consciousness of the planet, by building study groups, like the ones I am teaching now in the Tampa and Vero Beach, Florida area, we can avert the catastrophe that our current timeline holds. Sean, who does the Andromedan Council report to? Do they report to anybody else, anybody higher? Adrain, there are people in the organized group, in the Council of the Alliance, that I told you about. They report to people more inside on a mental vibration. And those report to something more inside of that. Something that was called a spirit vibration, and they report to something more inside of the heart. There are no words for it. It is a soul vibration. The spirit is not the highest vibration, the soul is. The spirit is like a protective sheath, and the soul is the highest vibration where everything comes from. The soul is the core vibratory frequency of the universe. It is a collective consciousness of people that have made it in many incarnations to the inner heart core of our universe. As they come in, they join into this one vibration and they get bigger and bigger. Then these huge collective consciousness entities report to some others higher, you know, it is like a chain of command. Sean, they report to beings in another universe? Adrain, yup. And they are the ones that are mainly responsible for overseeing this universe. Another universe oversees the other one. That is how it is. Sean, there's no original universe? Adrain, it does not exist. It is infinite, from the biggest to the smallest. It is a fantastic number. A gigantic universe, that has next to it a whole bunch of other gigantic universes. This planet, the solar system, the Little Dipper, the galaxy, this universe with all the other ones and all the rest that we are talking about. It is so big. And yet all of that is perhaps part of an atom in my thumb. Sean, so there is infinite bigness and infinite smallness? Adrain, who would know, we are in the middle of this. It is going to lead to the highest and the lowest. That is why our symbol looks like something like this. He draws with three lines and one joining. That is the universe and the creation. Sean, I have videotape with photographs of ships that have this symbol on the bottom of it. A drawing of the underbelly of an ammo craft displaying the symbol of the United Universal Alliance of Planets. Adrain, oh? Sean, yes. They are called the ammo, and that symbol is on the bottom of their craft. Adrain, that line on the bottom is the physical worlds. The second horizontal line stands for the invisible or etheric words, and the third line on top stand for the worlds of the soul. They are joined together by a vertical line representing the highest eternal, to the lowest eternal of all creation. Sean, is there a ruler of this galaxy? Is there a name for somebody that maybe rules or runs most of this galaxy? Adrain, the galaxy? No. It is just a collective consciousness. It is like I said, it is beings that have made a different connection together with beings from other universes. Sean, have you had any other experience with people living on any other planets in this solar system with the exception of the Moon and Mars? Adrain, some beings on the moons of Jupiter and Saturn. I was told that these are from Orion. Sean, how many races have you had direct contact with? Adrain, that is a good question. The long-nosed Sirian Grey negatives, the Grey Orion negatives, and the benevolent Zeta Reticulans, the Pleiadians, of course, and some beings from the constellation of Pegasus. Sean, what did they look like? A thumbnail description? Adrain, they, believe it or not, these people have wings. Sean, the ones from Pegasus have wings? Adrain, the people from there tend to have wings. It does not mean that everybody there in that system has wings. Just like people that look like Germans, but they are not all blonde. Sean, what do the Sirians look like? Adrain, the original Sirians that came over are mainly tall dark people. But their noses are very big, not flat like a black person. Their faces are a little long, tall and thin. They look tough, you know, interesting, very strong. Sean, and the Zeta Reticulans? Mostly a small race? Adrain, yes. They have differences. Some are more human looking, more like Chinese. Some look more like the pictures you see of the Greys. They always have big heads. These other ones look more greyish with bigger eyes. You can tell when they are from there because they have an ambience like little children. Mischievous but yet innocent. It appears in how they walk, how they act, their whole vibration. It is no bother to me, the way they come and poke you, like playing around and being curious. The negative Orion and Sirian Greys have an ambience of fear, knowing exactly what they want to take away from you. The others, the benevolent Zetas, have an ambience of playful curiosity. Sean, so there are good Greys and bad Greys? Adrain, yes. But the Greys that are confusing everybody, look pretty much the same as the good Greys from Zeta Reticuli, small, greyish with big heads. They are from Orion. From Rigel and Betelgeuse. Those are the bad ones. Sean, and what do the Pleiadians from your system look like? Adrain, the women are 6'2 to 6'6. The men are between 7 and 8 feet. In the old days they were 20 to 30 feet tall. But now they are smaller. They all have a Roman nose, that comes straight down from the forehead, with no dent at the bridge, with very large, liquid, almond-shaped cat's eyes with a beautiful blue or green color. Sean, where do the American Indians come from? The red race? Adrain, from the southern hemisphere of Atlantis. Sean, but where did they come from before that? Adrain, they belonged to the Sirian, Vegan and Ryan systems. They are dark people. Of course, like I have said, the ones that are screwed up, the evil ones, they also come from the systems of Sirius and Orion. They are negative ones, but they do not look black or red. They look sickly and whitish, and you have tall ones and small ones. Most of them do not have any hair. Those are the ones that are in trouble, and make trouble for the Earth humans. Sean, is there going to be an extraterrestrial invasion of this planet, sometime around 2004, 2005? Adrain, the nine families have a plan which has to do with the chupacabra that you were investigating in Puerto Rico. The ultimate goal is to create a climate of so many problems and so much terror, pollution, war, crime, and fear. They want to get people used to the idea of an alien invasion with the chupacabra, that this will set the stage for them to launch a fake alien invasion of Earth. Everybody will be so terrified that they will give up all their rights and say to the world government, please help. Do anything, just come save us. The chupacabra is a creature created by genetic experimentation, and being purposely released into the population to get people used to the idea of some kind of evil alien invasion. That is why it is getting so much publicity. That is when they have the special forces come in, with martial law, take over and tear up the constitution. Poof, gone. That is the plan. See? Because like I said, they are seeing that people are becoming very intelligent, they are learning what has been happening, so they are very afraid. They know the constitution and the things that they will take away. But that is why we have the mass mind control, for the kids, using the TV and all that stuff to make them hang around with pistols, start shooting people and everything else, so that then it will make an easier excuse when they want to take over. Parents and everybody sending letters to senators and congressmen saying, "Hey, let's the guns out of the streets." They take away everybody's guns so the people can't defend themselves. That makes it easier for them, when the thing really starts so the troops can handle people with no trouble. This is the whole mass plan. Sean, so you are saying that there is no threat from the reptilians, there is no threat from a real alien invasion? Adrain, no threat. The only threat is that the reptilians have technology here and they do not care about anything. They are here already. The threat to the secret world order and the evil ETs is the Alliance. They are wondering how long is the Alliance going to let the shadow government get away with what they are doing. So that is their actual fear. Sean, we can change this, can't we? Adrain, yes. With this conversation, we can actually alter, through positive vibrations and frequency waves, things all around us. Somewhere something changes for the better, and that changes and at one. Like dominoes. It begins a whole different future. Sean, we need to reach through the mind control, tear down that screen, and it changes people. By writing and talking about all this. Adrain, yes. As we are doing here, because that is one thing that escapes them, that people have souls, they have the life force which is of great power. But it, too, is a form of energy, and it can be trapped by the evil ones. They can create a situation like when you are dying, and they can create a hoax, a fake scenario with a light and a tunnel and Jesus Christ and everything. Oh, it is the light, Jesus is coming, oh yes. They can trap the soul and trick it. Suddenly you are in a laboratory terminal at some kind of station there. They wipe everything out and then you are back here again. They live on that. They live on the notion that you are constantly reincarnating over and over with many lives with not enough time to catch up on what is going on. No time to build up any strength or wisdom. These aliens sometimes abuse these souls. For as long as they live, which is thousands of years, or 500 years at least. Sean, who lives that long? These entities, you know? Sean, which entities? Adrain, the ones that do this stuff, the Syrians, the Orions, the old ones from Atlantis, the ones that are doing the most damage. The rogue Pleiadian splinter groups together with the old Lyrans. There are beings from Alpha Draconis and Ursa Major that are most amazing. They are half man and half lizard. Big people, you know. Very strong. Oh, you have small ones there, but the majority are very strong, very big, up to 1,500 to 1,800 pounds. They are totally unemotional warriors and that is a problem, too. So all these people are living in their own artificial ambience and they are tired. They want to be in your dimension. They want to be free. To breath and move and be comfortable, to be out of the bubble, as they say. Sean, what do they do with the soul energy once they absorb it, once they trick it and put it into the laboratory? You are saying that they use people coming to the light, or going to the light, as a kind of trick. Adrain, yes, they do that. In many cases they capture not the soul, but the astral body. But when they capture the astral body, the soul is captured too, for a time. If it is strong enough, it gets out. If it is not, it is because that soul lacks cosmic evolution. They stay pretty much, like, in a prison, and that is a problem. Sean, and when they die, are they taking them to the astral plane, where their spirit and the soul go? Adrain, for instance, here you can do the same thing with witchcraft. When somebody dies, You can be ready for him with entities on the other side. They are waiting for him, with the same vibration that you are coming into. They will capture you, and they can actually put you in a container and you are stuck there. So, you can capture somebody with this magic technology. For people that are weak, they can be made to work for you later. They will become slaves. That is how it works. Sean, but there are entities that can feed on the soul force, the soul energy. Adrain, oh, right. That is a good question. How do they do it? It is true. The ones that do this are the ones that are the good-looking ones. The ones that look like angels, the strong ones, that look like tall blondes. Those are the refugees from Atlantis. Down here on Earth, they are the ones that are in charge of the whole thing. They are of Lyran, Pleiadian descent, in charge of everybody else. So these are the ones that feed from the energies of the people, from these astral operations. They are looking always for people that kneel down easily and give all their power away to someone that will take care of them and take away their own responsibilities. They feed from this, and that is why you see the ships of these beings, hanging out around football games, around churches, anywhere groups of fanatic people gather for something where there is a lot of emotion and anger exchanged. The ships take in these energies through a vacuum of light. They will filter this energy in the ships to use as power, then all of the other energy that is left over, they actually transport to different places around the world, depositing it there, and then it manifests as problems, wars and fear. You can see it out in the streets, all the crime and everything else. So they actually are attracted to particular negative auric vibratory fields. So they live from that. Isn't he that interesting? Sean, why do UFOs usually always appear over areas before there are major natural catastrophes or wars? Adrain, I guess one reason is to watch for what is happening and to see if they can take somebody. Many times they wait until the disaster comes, and the whole building falls, and that is how they can easily take people so they won't to be missed. I do not know if I am explaining it right. No? You are explaining it perfectly. Adrain, it is a great opportunity to just take people for either good or bad reasons. They want to be missed that way. They are always watching. Always looking. They can beam people physically onto the ship and take them directly to another world or another place, so they can be taught or trained without having to die, and yet they will not be missed when they are taken. That would be called a direct incarnation from the regular mode of having to die. Like an ascension. Sean, the good guys or the bad guys take people? Adrain, both, actually. They both sometimes use the same methods, but that is not in general. Sean, so there is no extraterrestrial threat to this planet right now? There is no reptilian fleet or armada on its way here. The Archerians aren't battling anyone outside the asteroid belt. Adrain, no. If an invasion were to happen, it would be a staged thing, because the bad guys took over a long time ago anyway. It has already happened. Sean, but there is no battle happening between the asteroid belt and Oort clouds. The Archerians aren't fighting off the reptilians, right? Adrain, in the old days that would happen. Sometimes that happens with somebody that comes in accidentally, without knowing the space laws. And so sometimes you have little wars or something like that. But the Alliance would never. They do not work that way. They do not fire on anybody actually physically to destroy. They would if they had to, you know. It happens once in a rare while. They have police all over. They stay away from that kind of thing. Reactions take place when the Greys or Reptilians know they are going to get arrested and they shoot at anything. You know. They are very trigger-happy. The reptilians are a race that has been created directly on purpose, with no emotion, as a warrior race. Human beings crossbred with reptiles. Originally they were created as a land force, labor and warriors, but then they started getting smart. If you create something like that, you can't expect them not to use their intelligence. The time came when they also wanted their own ships. They wanted space. 2. To live and be independent. Now they live 200 to 300 miles underground here on Earth. Sean, my Tibetan teachers call them the Nagas Harachi, the Serpent Men. How did they get there? Adrain, with the ships. Sean, why do they live under the Earth? Adrain, like I said. The answer to this is that they feel good in a cool temperature. They also feel comfortable because of the lack of light in the atmosphere, and they are sensitive to bright lights like the Greys. It is interesting, because in the Atlantean days people would create fantastic cities underground to keep away from the big animals, you know, dinosaurs and all that. Now these creatures have gone underground, because they look like the dinosaurs, and now they want to keep away from humans on the surface. Funny, right? Let's talk about time travel. When was the first time you traveled in time? When was it? How old were you? What can you remember? Adrain, I was 15 or 16. Man, they just pulled me upright into a ship, and dropped me outside of Miami Beach. Sean, from where? Adrain, from a house where I was living with my Earth parents. Sean, so it was a long ways away from Miami? Adrain, a half an hour drive, I guess. Sean, okay. So you were taken up in the ship? Adrain, I was slammed into the future. A future Miami Beach. The first thing that happens is that they drop me and I hit the sand, and I looked straight ahead, and saw the ocean horizon. I said, where am I? I was overcome by surprise. They do not tell me anything. That is one of the curious things. Nothing was prepared beforehand. Then I looked back, and of course, then I noticed I was there in South Miami Beach, recognizing everything because I saw all the hotels. I said, okay, so here I am, what is going to happen now? And I was just waiting. I was kicking up some sand, and I was walking up and down the shore. Then I noticed the light starts getting dim, like bad weather, you know, that kind of ambience, like a little nice breeze. Then I heard screaming in the street on the other side of the hotels. I had a feeling to look out at the ocean again. I had a feeling that maybe whatever I was there for, it was coming from that way. And, I was right. From the east, it looks like a black line moving up, taking up the entire horizon. And I said, oh, I wonder what is coming over there. It kept getting bigger and bigger, and all of a sudden, the weather starts getting a little stronger. The wind blowing and everything. I see and hear people running around crazy, all over, and I can remember a lot of people desperately falling, and others walking right over them. I'll never forget the chaos all around me, and I said, oh my. Look at that. It was a giant wave coming right at us. Then I started remembering in New York the giant buildings, how they look, and I said, that thing is bigger than those tall buildings I remember. That old man is going to take all this out like little toys. And then all of a sudden about a dozen people appeared to my left hand side, and they were part of the crowd that came from who knows where. Then the starships appeared and started quickly, frantically, beaming people up and out of the city in the ships. So, exactly as I say on my left, this group of people were just looking at me, and with their minds telling me, yes, it is us, we are here and we are ready. Tell us what to do. Where do we go? And there was no expression on their faces. Sean, who were they? Adrain, young people. I did not recognize them, but they recognized me. They were just regular people. I was surprised that they recognized me, and apparently I did not recognize them. There was a calm expression on their face. Like they knew that they would be people who would be saved. Then I said, well, this is where we have to go. Follow me. Then we very calmly walked. We were walking and everybody else is running around. But we were in a protected force field. I did not see it, but I felt it. The field was 5 or 10 feet around. All around it is like a revolution with people running over children screaming, and then I was thinking, look how interesting, how they are screaming and going crazy and running. But to where? There is nowhere to run. I was thinking that I remember, which is very curious, too. And that is when I, poof, got taken back up and then I became like a camera watching the scene. Sean, so you were up in the air, looking down. You saw the wave cover up all of Miami? A drain, yeah? The water receded. Is that how you say it? Sean, yes. So you went back up to the ship? A drain, oh, no. I am in the air, which I can't explain. I did not see the ship, or those people anymore. But, they were safe, and of course, they came there, for that project, and I saved them for whatever reason. What I saw were little dots of islands, like Key West, Florida. Sean, how far up in the air were you? A drain, 10,000, 20,000 feet, more or less. Sean, and were you looking down on all of Florida? A drain, yes. But my body was going higher because I saw much more of the gigantic peninsula. It could have been 100,000 feet, or something like that. I could see the whole thing from one corner to the other. From the Atlantic Ocean to the Gulf. Sean, Florida was gone? A drain, yes. Not the whole thing, though. I saw little dots of a shoreline with the water moving very violently, around Lake Okla. That is where I saw the new shoreline. The wave covers just a little higher. Not exactly in the middle. Then, all of a sudden, I feel this rush coming down this way from me, from high to low like this. And I woke up, opened my eyes but now physically in my bed. Jumping, I landed like I was dropped from the ceiling. You know? But, the interesting thing is I was all wet. Like I just took a shower with all my clothes on. That was interesting. Sean, salt water? A drain, yes. I was just soaked. Sean, did you see when this happened? The incident, in the future? A drain, no. Sean, any idea as to when? Did you manage to look at a newspaper or anything while you were there? A drain, no. Did Miami Beach look like it looks now? A drain, yay, yay. It looked normal, not like the Jetsons or something like that. Sean, but you had this vision when you were 16. That was 25 years ago. A drain, yes. So maybe the time is approaching. I usually never talk about dates because things are changing constantly in the future, so the path that is leading energies back and forth isn't fixed. If I say things and they do not happen, people will say I am a liar. I have been in the future several times in the same place at the same time and it has been different every time. I have predicted horrible storms for Florida in 1997, but the Pleiadian forces are trying to change this, just as they changed the four other hurricanes that were coming behind Hurricane Andrew. Sean, what causes the tidal wave? A drain, a meteor that is going to hit the Caribbean. Similar was warned about in a contact in -88, link. Sean, but, you do not have any idea as to when? A drain, no. And, if I do I want to say a date here, like I said, just in case things change, I will look bad. It is pretty near, it is somewhere between 98 and 2012, I believe, somewhere around there. Sean, that gives you a lot of breathing room. A drain, yeah, laughs. Sean, have you ever heard anything about Atlantis rising up? Because I have seen that in my own visions and meditations that Atlantis starts to rise directly off the coast, which begins to inundate Florida. A drain, I thought that could happen, cause I saw something like that, too. Land just rising up, and actually people were moving there to live. Sean, after Florida goes down into the ocean? A drain, that is right. Sean, did they ever show you any big earthquakes in the future? Los Angeles, San Francisco? A drain, large earthquakes in Florida, which will be very strange, because that has never happened. Sean, do you know what area in Florida? A drain, the lower area. Sean, are these going to be right before the tidal wave? A drain, I think so. Let us talk about another experience that I had when we get back to the hotel. Sean, how many times have you traveled in the future?
Adrian, solidly, at least 3 good ones that I can remember.